Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and we have a very special guest, a New York Times bestselling author. Her name's Lisa Gardner, and her new book, Touch and Go, which is absolutely incredible, and I really mean that. I spent all day yesterday reading this book. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, David, and thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed the novel.
This is another great, after The Next Accident, which was my favorite up until now. Now I think this one's my favorite.
Oh, yay. I'm so happy to hear that.
And The Next Accident, oh, my gosh. I took that book to the beach one, and all I did was sit in the hotel room reading the book, and that's true. I felt so bad that I couldn't help. I couldn't stop reading that book.
I think that's the biggest luxury when you're a reader, though, is that when you get so lost in the book, it's like, I should be enjoying the beach or hiking or spending time with my family. But no, I'm great.
But how much fun do we have reading books? When you think about a book that you really liked and you enjoyed reading, it's nothing but all you remember are good things.
Yeah, I love the transportive power of a good
book. Nobody ever says, I read a great book and I had a terrible time. Nobody ever says that.
Because they regret it.
That's the great thing about books. It's like being in heaven.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you do it, but you tell such great stories. This book is unbelievably. The whole story. And to give away any of it is a crime, really, because it's so complex.
It's one of the tougher thrillers for me to describe to people because you don't want to give too much away.
There's characters and there's layers and layers of different things that happen in the book. A lot of things you don't expect, which makes it even more fun.
Good. I'm glad to know I surprised you because that's always my goal when I'm writing a suspense novel is to, catch even the experienced, jaded reader. I always know what's going to happen next. If I can catch them off guard,
So you always know.
No, I don't. I think one of the secrets, at least for my writing process, is not to know what's going to happen next. Because I feel like if you do, as a writer, you can't help but broadcast it.
Believe me, I've read a lot of books, and I know a good story when I read it. And there are a lot of books that I read, maybe not a lot, I'd say a fair amount, where I can tell what's going to happen next. I'm bored with the characters. I don't care about anything. And it's so easy to get into that rhythm as an author, because I've read books like that, and you don't feel like you know the characters, you can't identify. This book, you're getting into the mind of so many different characters, and you do it so well. The daughter, and then the mother, and then the father, and we get to see everything that's happening in their minds, and it's just fascinating.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, David.
Is that difficult to do?
I think for me, because I've written, this is like my 15th thriller now.
Right.
One of the things I try to do when I sit down and write, the book, is the characters are always the part that just comes to me. Like, I went for a walk, I live in the mountains, and it was Libby Denby, the mother from Touch and Go, who was about to be abducted from her own home, just talking to me about this, terrible place she is in her life, where she knows she has everything she ever wanted, and it's not working. And then I knew I wanted to do an abduction book of an entire family because, who doesn't? It's just such a fun thing to do, to kidnap an entire family. So
right.
It was like...
You sound like you've actually done it yourself.
it's one of those ideas I kicked around in the back of my head forever, because if you kidnap one person, it's kind of static. Like, where do you go? But if you kidnap a family... you think about family Christmas, family vacation. Those are so supposedly happy, family outings, and yet the dynamics alone can get to be kind of...
And that's where the book comes in. It becomes really a lot of fun, because all during the book you're thinking, now why would these people kidnap the whole family? What is going on with this? And if you can figure that out, you figure out the whole book. But,
that was the fun part for me, because I had to write this whole book with that question. Because it's more like I came up with the ideas and the characters, and I knew it was worth doing, but I didn't know why. And then at a certain point, I'm like, that's the suspense hook. Because these are logical, intelligent people, and they're going to keep asking that question. And the fact that they don't know the answer, the fact that they're being victims, and they can't even tell you why they're being victims, almost becomes one of their supreme sources of frustration. If you're going to get abducted, couldn't they at least do the courtesy of telling you why?
What got me interested in this book, and I like your books anyway, but I read the People magazine review, and thank God for People magazine, because they hooked me the thing that hooked me in the review wasn't the fact that they liked it, was the fact that they said The reason to read this book is the family, dynamic, what happens between the in the family of the three of them. That's the reason to read. And they're right. There's so much stuff that happens during the course of this book that you don't expect, that with the family. And that's what really drives the novel.
Thank you, because that was actually my number one reason for even writing Touch and Go, was the Denby family. I wanted you to see a family, you know, already kind of at a turning point. They should be a happy family. They're at that kind of point in life where they know they're not, but they don't necessarily have ideas yet as to what's the magical solution yet to life.
Now, speaking of which, do you know the ages of Lily and Justin when this book begins?
I had to fine-tune it. That was one of those variables that changed so that their complete life stories made sense.
Right. So what do you figure, what are their ages? I'm curious.
Oh, I have it written down on there. I actually write little character profiles.
Oh, you do? Really?
With the details.
We know the daughter's 15. That's...
Yeah, and I think it's Libby is like late 40s, and Justin Denby, her husband, is actually in his 50s because he's older than she is.
Oh, interesting.
So it is that kind of classic...
You don't mention it at all, though, I don't think it's mentioned at all in the book.
No, it's funny. There are a lot of things I will learn and never put in the book. I mean, it's kind of Hemingway's, you learn the iceberg to write about the tip. I mean, sometimes to me, it's not even, there's no great organic place. You know, I'm about to be tased by a master intruder, but my name, my age for the record is 47.
Right.
I mean, there's such intensity of experience that going through, you know, my own brother, who's very visual, once said, I'm not even sure your characters wear clothes anymore.
Right. Now, see, that makes it sound, like I brought that up for a reason. I didn't. I had no idea you were just going to say that.
Yeah.
I thought for sure you were going to tell me the ages, right? Bam, bam, bam.
No,
and we'd know. But it's interesting. People at home are thinking, well, he just said that because he set her up for something. You know how you watch a show and you can tell when they set things up? You know, and they know, you know something else is coming. But I had no idea you were going to say that. But the book, what's really great about the book is this is the kind of book you can take to the beach, because you can just sit there and you read a few chapters, and then before you know, you're just absolutely hooked.
Thank you. My goal is always a page turner. And some of that is, I think, is suspense. Page turners are the most fun to read.
Well, you think about when you first pick a book up, you read the first page, you read the first couple pages. Sometimes it hooks you and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes the first line hooks you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you read the first line, you're like, oh, that's all right. And then you go on and you can't even get into the book. I have found in like two or three pages I couldn't get into a book.
But see, I have to say, one of the things that really, as they put it, informs my writing these days, is I myself am a middle-aged wife and mom. And at this phase of my life, I mean, our days, I feel, are just so busy and so chaotic and so overscheduled. You know, it's kind of the American condition.
Right.
But I am a reader. So when I sit down at the end of the night and I pick up a novel, I want that. I need to be hooked from the first line. I want to go from chapter, racing. And I want to, you know, for the, you know, 30 minutes to 3 hours I'm going to get to read, not have to think about anything else than what's happening in these pages. So I guess I'm always trying to bring that to readers too.
Right.
Because it feels to me that's my idea of what we're looking for.
I think the more you read, the more you realize how really difficult that is to do. It's not an easy thing to do. Not every writer can do it.
I'll confess now, Touch and Go was heavily rewritten. I mean, I'd love to say I'm brilliant. I sat down and I crafted this complex mesh of action and characters off the top of my head. But no.
It is brilliant. It is a brilliant novel.
Oh, thank you. I love, one of the things I love about writing is what happens in the first draft stays in the first draft. You never have to know.
Right.
But I think it is technical, and you do have to work at it. And there was a lot of information I gave that, you know, once the whole book was done, I was like, well, that's extraneous. We don't need that. That's stuff that can go. You know, let's keep it cut down. You know, I like a lean novel, one that, you know, it keeps you riveted on what's going to happen.
Right. I must confess, I didn't read the first Tessa novel. Had I known that there was one before this, Love You More, I think I missed that one. I have to go back and read that.
Joy, Love You More. That's actually a lot.
What is it? I'm sorry. Did I get it?
It's called Love You More. You're right. And a lot of people say that's their favorite book. That has one of the most, probably the most clever action sequences I ever did. Though for the record, I used three experts to help me do it. So.
Oh, wait. I thought I'd said the title wrong. I was all embarrassed.
You got it right.
One thing you don't want to do is get the title of the book wrong. I remember we had I was at Bryn Mawr one year, and we had Diane Mott Davidson there, and they were out.
Awesome, yeah.
And they were out of one of her books. It was the most embarrassing experience. She was so upset about it, too. You know, and the last thing you want to do is upset the author. You know, as an interviewer, I know exactly what that's like, because I've had authors upset. And it doesn't happen very often, but it's embarrassing when it does, you know?
Readers can always go to lisagardner.com, and they'll find all the books laid out, including identifying which books go with which books. Because I always joke, I seem to be writing series books, but never actually in chronological order or any way that would be useful.
Well,
the average person tried to find them.
I'm really upset now because I have to read another book with another author, and I'm reading that now, and I'm not enjoying it as much as I enjoyed yours, and now I'm like upset because I don't have, it's not as good a book as yours. So I mean, I'm kind of like in a, you know how that makes you feel when you read another book and it's not half as good as the one before it.
Well, so I have 15 novels now. I'm trying very hard to give you plenty of reading material.
And that doesn't even count your romance novels.
That's exactly it. Well, and three of those will come out this year now.
Oh, really?
There's a trilogy I wrote toward the end of my romantic suspense career when I was writing as Alicia Scott. I was actually writing them at the same time I wrote my first really big thriller novel, The Perfect Husband.
Oh, right, yes.
Dutton acquired the rights to it, and they're going to release it as a paperback trilogy at the end of this year.
Now, what name will it be on under? What?
It will be Lisa Gardner writing as Alicia Scott.
Oh, okay, so we'll say Lisa Gardner. We will be able to see Lisa Gardner on it.
Yeah, and if you're not, I mean, they're definitely suspense novels. Each book has a standalone suspense plot, and then there's a mystery that runs through all three books.
Now, will they all be released at the same time?
They're going to be, like, back to back to back.
So one month after the next?
Yeah. I think they're
doing really
like six-week increments. That's close enough.
Who's releasing it? Is it Penguin also?
Yes. It'll be under NAL, I believe.
Because I know you were with another publishing company before.
I was with Random House before.
You were with Random House, yeah. I was going to say, I thought it was something like...
And
you
were, for readers who enjoy suspense and also don't mind, you know, them finding love along the way, I think the Alicia Scott paperbacks are actually a lot of fun. But if you're someone who's not as much in the romance element, that's okay. In, you know, January we'll have the next full-fledged suspense novel for you as well.
And you know, with Touch and Go, and I should mention that it's out from Dutton. I don't think I mentioned Dutton. Thanks for Dutton for providing it for me to read. And boy, what an experience of reading it. What I must say is, what I really liked about it is the way you switch back and forth between the investigation and what the family's going through. That really is effective.
I think one of the things now, kind of later in my suspense career, is getting more and more... Before I wrote a straight police procedure, so you followed the police's point of view.
Right.
In the past few books, definitely, I've been more interested in... that means victims aren't always right. In this case, yes, the Dembys have been abducted, so they are the victims. But just... You know, for an average, ordinary person having to deal with crime, what is that like? You know, and I mean, one of my favorite lines from the book is Libby Denby starting to make this realization as they're all trapped together by, you know, men who won't tell them why or what, is starting to realize that maybe they're their own worst enemy. Maybe by not trusting each other enough, or being supporting each other enough, that they, you know, brought this upon themselves, and just that feeling of helplessness and confusion that comes when you're suddenly a victim in a crime, and you never thought it would happen to you, right? That's something that's supposed to happen to other people,
right?
Not you.
What I wonder is, you said while you're writing a book, you don't always know everything that's going to happen.
Exactly.
So as you're writing this book, things you're getting ideas in your head about what the twist is going to be, what's going to happen, what. The surprise. All of a sudden, yes. That surprise will come to you?
I'll always have a few different ideas, like, in the back of my mind, and then the more I write, the more I start to realize, no, that's too obvious.
Well, I think, because my wonder is, how do you do that when the whole book's got to make sense? So if you decide in the middle of the book that something has got to be a surprise, everything before it, it's got to make perfect sense, too.
Like I said, I do rewrite. So it's like I spend 6 months in my writing process to get a draft down as fast as I can. And then, like, in the case of Touch and Go, probably a third of the book was eliminated and a third of the book was then reinserted, partly to better set up once I figured out, this is what's really going on here.
You must have a good editor, then.
I have an excellent editor, I have to say. I work with Ben Sevier and Vicki Meller on this, and they are fabulous.
I know that name, Ben Sevier. I've heard of him.
Dutton, and Vicki Meller's from Headline, my UK publisher. And they actually work together on this, which I like, too, because you get a male and a female perspective.
Right.
And I'm one of those writers. I like input. I think suspense at its best should be really crisp.
Even if they call you up and they say, you know, that whole part doesn't work, get rid of it. That doesn't bother you?
Yeah, I mean, I got like an 8-page single-spaced letter.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I am a rewriter. I don't know. I feel like that's... If people read this book and they're like, it's really great and it's really seamless, it's like, thank you, we did our job right.
Right. We.
I need the insight from my editors. I mean, I actually have to say, when I finished drafting Touch and Go, I thought it wasn't fast-paced enough, but I didn't know where I'd gone wrong, and I kind of threw the manuscript at him. It's not what I want it to be, but I don't know why. You figure it out.
It's suddenly hitting me right now that the fact that you just said the word, used the word we, instead of saying I, or I did this, I did that. I can tell whether a writer's got an ego or whether you use the word I a lot.
Oh. I mean, I really need my editor, so.
Right. No, but that's good. It's good that you realize, you know, that it's a group effort, too. That it's not just you writing the book, and you write the perfect book, and that's it. I think that's interesting.
It takes an entire publishing team to get it out to the reader.
Right.
And get it to you and set up things like this. No, yeah.
It's funny because the being a fan, and I am, I never think of it like that. I always think of it as the writer being the talented one. And you are talented, there's no doubt about it.
Well, I mean, we writers do like you to think that way. And you
right.
understand that we suffer.
Now, has there been some... you were writing about D.D. Warren, and I assume D.D. Warren's coming back.
She is. One of the things that happens in my writing process is I, for whatever reason, when I go to start the next book, a crime will come to me first. And in the case of Touch and Go, where it's an abduction, a kidnapping book, and it crossed the state lines, the next thing I realized was Detective D.D. Warren, as a Boston cop, couldn't be my main character for this novel. That would not be her jurisdiction. And again, having a great editor, I called him up, and I'm like, would it be okay? I can give her, you know, for the sake of my readers who love D.D. Warren, D.D. Warren can handle the initial crime scene. But then I'm going to need new characters. And I have to say, I think a great editor trusts the author. He's like, go for it. Do what you need to do. So in this case, it gave me a great excuse to create my first ever New Hampshire police officer, Wyatt, who I thought was just...
Yeah, Wyatt's fascinating.
Yeah, and I, to the extent that this book brings back Tessa Leone as a private investigator, and the last time readers saw her, her life was definitely in transition and a little bit in shambles.
And I love Sophie. I can't wait to see more of Sophie.
Yes, and that's really what Love You More is all about, what Tessa goes through to get Sophie back.
Right. But, I mean, from here on in, are we still going to see more of Tessa and Sophie coming up?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, now that I have... I mean, the nice thing about having a character that's a private investigator is, you know, you can have her appear...
Well, I've fallen in love with Sophie. I've got to see her more in action. I mean, she's so outspoken. I love that.
Yeah, and she's Tessa's daughter, and she's gone through a big ordeal herself, and she's still fairly young. And that was interesting for me to do because in my private life, I do some work with a child services agency, and they deal with children and trauma. And so one of the things I could do is, like, ask the executive director, you know, Tessa has her way of approaching her daughter, which is to not reassure her, not talk down to her once you've had a child who's, you know, up close and personal experienced crime, to try to tell them everything will be okay, rarely works. But instead encourages her to offer her own help, to be insightful, to be like, this is what kidnappers are going to do, Mom. And Tessa's job is to be, well, you know these things, you're strong, you got yourself out of a tough situation before. Okay, so I'm going to pack hot chocolate. And it's fun to bring those elements into a novel that are based on some things from the real world as well.
Well, I want to see more Sophie. I'll be very disappointed if you don't bring her back. Now, remember that.
Okay.
No, but there's certain characters that just resonate with you.
Yeah.
And you want to see more of them. I'm sure you get letters about this all the time. I'm certain you do. I mean, D.D., do you know what the D.D. stands for in D.D. Warren, by the way?
Oh, no, that's her actual name.
That is her. Oh, it's just D.D., D-E-E-D-E-E.
No, actually, the letter's D.D. My neighbor, I named her after my neighbor. There is a real-life D.D. Warren, and in real life, her name is the initials D.D.
So the initials don't stand for anything?
Nope, they just
interesting.
Don't. Yeah.
You must have gotten questions about that before.
Yes.
I can't be the first one that thought of that. Do you have any say on the covers, how your covers look?
Oh, we get to approve them, but I don't consider covers my strong suit. I consider I'm much better at what's between the covers.
Really? Interesting. I don't know. I found that fascinating. I love the cover. I just love the blue and the black together. Blue and black go well together anyway.
I think Dutton does a beautiful job. They showed it to us. I'm like, I like the cover. I mean, I don't feel like I'm necessarily like the most informed person in the world. I'm like, I would buy this book. That's the best I can do sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, where do you sell the best? In the United States or overseas?
I'm definitely homegrown. I'm definitely, you know, the U.S. is my number one market.
Probably. But you must be big in England, too.
England and France have been very good to me.
Have you been there to book signings?
I have done some conferences and stuff, and I'm actually about to book tour for the British in South Africa.
Really?
So next month, I get to go to Johannesburg and Cape Town. I'm very excited.
Wow. How long will you spend there?
Well, because it is South Africa and I have this thing for giraffes, I'm going to be there a while.
Oh, that's neat.
The business part's like 1 week.
Well, you've got to put some of those pictures on your website so we can all see.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool. Have you ever thought of being an actress?
No, I don't think that's my forte.
Because you're such a pretty woman to begin with.
Well, that's kind. But actors and actresses, I think, are extroverts. And I think authors, you know, we're the true introverts. I'm happiest alone in a room. I really like book characters, possibly because I get to control both sides of the conversation.
Right.
Whereas, you know, real life, when you talk and the other person talks back to you, sometimes can be actually annoying.
Right. You know? But it's interesting that you've I hope I don't offend you by saying this, but I think, in my mind, you have really grown as a writer since The Perfect Husband has come out.
I think that's your goal. I think if you're someone where they're, you know, especially particularly a writer, you want to create a body of work that you can be really proud of. But, I mean, some of it's even for me. I've been writing now for 20 years. I have to think harder to come up with crimes and characters and stuff that are interesting to me.
Interesting for the reader, interesting for you, and that are going to sell.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to spend a year on a book that you read in, what, 3 days? So, I mean, I have to be truthful about this. Speaking entirely selfishly, I need a plot that's interesting for me, David.
Right.
Again, I need to spend a year on this.
Right, but I didn't want you to think, oh, great, he didn't like The Perfect Husband. He must have hated that book.
Oh, enough people love that book. I don't worry about that one.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you always have to think about now, should I say that to the author or what? And I don't want to offend them, you know. But
actually, one of my favorite games to play in general with any author is that you've created a body of work, and one thing I do think is interesting is fans will rarely agree on which book is their favorite.
Right.
And that, to me, is the really neat part about a career. I mean, Touch and Go definitely is about a family, and some people are really, really going to respond to that, like you. But other people might prefer, say, The Perfect Husband, which definitely is more of a romance. It's about, you know, a wife, abused wife, trying to find her strength and ends up, you know, falling in love with a burnt-out ex-Marine.
Well, that's the thing. How do you write an abused wife? I mean, that's, and never having been an abused wife, how do you do that?
And that was a hard book because you're starting with a heroine that, by definition, at the beginning of the book is weak. She's made all the wrong choices, and you have to make her relatable when, you know, suspense readers have a tendency to like, you know, the detective Dee Dee Warnes. You know,
right.
The really strong heroines. You know, The Perfect Husband, she's trying to learn how to be that. But that's not who she is. But it's interesting. I mean, I was, you know, I've been out on book tour. It amazes me how many women will come up and say, that is still one of my all-time favorite novels. Whereas you'll have, you know, men kind of saying, well, I really like The Next Accident better, or what is it, Live to Tell, because it deals with a child mental health issue.
You're not afraid to tackle the really gritty stuff.
Because it's, I mean, I'm trying to write suspense at all times, but again, I'm also trying to show you a slice of life that you might not have experienced on your own. Like, what is it like to be a parent of a child at 5 if hearing voices telling you to kill? What's it like to try to, you know, get away from a serial killer who collects spiders as a hobby and now has you in his sights? I mean, I'm trying to, and catch me, you know, a 911 dispatch operator. What's it like to try to do that? I mean, that to me is when a book becomes really interesting.
Yeah, Catch Me's got one of the greatest catches. I mean, just reading what it's about just instantly makes you want to read it.
Yeah, and I mean, I had such an amazing time interviewing and hanging out with 911 operators. And they have a job that on the one hand we think we all know, but on the other hand, we know nothing at all about, I mean, frankly. And
right.
So again, to let you as a reader have an opportunity to spend a few nights, you know, in someone else's shoes. And that's when I think the reading experience really becomes transportive.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I read this book, most of this book yesterday, just the whole day, just going back to it.
Oh, that's excellent.
Every 5 minutes and just, you know, and you almost don't want it to end because you know once it's over, what am I going to find next? How am I going to find something that's as good as this one?
Well, you know, we have something fun on the website right now. I rarely get to do this, but if you go to lisagardner.com, for people
right.
who enjoyed Catch Me, I ended up writing like a bonus ending, almost like an epilogue to the epilogue.
Really?
So that's on the website. And it's kind of like for those of you who, you know, kind of sorry to see Charlie Grant's story end, here's a little postscript a year later, seeing, you know, how she is as now a dispatch operator for a very, very tiny rural sheriff's department in the mountains of New Hampshire. And I think it's just fun for readers. So.
You're, right now, your book and another book called Snow White Must Die, I don't know if you've heard of that one yet.
I checked that one out on book tour.
Wonderful.
I'm going around it. I should be reading that one.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
It looked very good to me, I have to say. I've kind of like been eyeing it.
It's really well written. I wrote to the author.
And scary.
It is. Those are my two favorite books this year.
Oh, good, good. I'll check that one out.
That one really resonates.
Okay.
If you read, you're going to know exactly what I mean. But apparently it's part of the series, and I can't figure out whether it's the first one or not, which sounds silly, but I have a feeling it's not the first one of the series.
I don't know. I mean, I saw it. I don't remember noticing that part of it. But, I mean, I still love to read. That's still one of my favorite things, and discovering a new author, a new book.
Well, that's what makes you so good as a writer, too. You don't always stick with one character. You don't have Dee Dee Warren in every book. You have different people. I mean, you had an FBI series with, what was her name?
It's Pierce Quincy. Over the course of the series, it becomes his wife, Rainey Connor.
Right. But doesn't he have a daughter, too, or something?
Yes, and then his daughter, Kimberly, who you know was, you know, a budding criminalist, becomes an FBI agent as well.
Right. It's amazing I remember that name, Kimberly. I'm amazed I can remember all these characters. And that's a tribute to you that they've stuck in my mind all this time.
Yes, that's the FBI Profiler series. And if people go to lisagardner.com, they'll find those books spelled out. And the number one question I get on tour is, will we see those characters again? And I am thinking it's probably time. Not next book, because that's going to be Detective Edie Warren, but I'm sure I can come up with a good, really fun, you know.
Oh, so the next one definitely is Dee Dee Warren.
Yes, I've already started it, and it's a fun one for me. As you can tell, I can't help but mess up my characters' lives. But, you know, page one, Detective Dee Dee Warren suffers quite the injury on the job.
Oh, really?
She's on medical leave.
Wow.
But the serial killer is still continuing his reign of terror, and she absolutely positively cannot let that go.
What is it like to... I mean, writing's a very solitary job. What is that like? I mean, you have kids, so you're not really solitary. So you're probably not the best example. I mean, you have kids, you're not solitary at all. I mean, you don't have to worry about feeling alone because you've got two kids. How many kids do you have, by the way?
I have one child. And
one
I
child.
Have
okay.
enough pets to qualify
for.
My household's never quiet.
But I just wonder, you know, writing by yourself all the time like that, does that ever get to you?
No, no. And this is why, I mean, I joke at the end of the day, you know, all writers really are introverts. I mean, that's just where we're happiest. And my brain's always moving. I've always had, I mean, I wrote my first book when I was 17. I've always had a story in my head.
Wow.
In fact, I joke, you know, if someone like me ever went to prison, I'd be solitary confinement all the way, like, just giddy.
Right. You
know, like, please lock me up.
But the thing is, I mean, there's a lot of writers that used to be romance writers and now write thrillers.
Yeah.
But they don't always do it really, really well. You're one of the ones that does it really, really well.
And I appreciate that. I think for me, some of the natural progression of that has been, I really love plot. I mean, I started in romance because I love romance and I like characters. But even from the very beginning, there had to be a dead body. And with time, I got more confidence for interviewing interesting people in law enforcement, where I think in the beginning it was like, well, I don't know any police officers and I don't know anything about policing, so I can't write about that. Now, you know, I cold call the body farm, why not? I mean, and it's not like you pick up the phone and people go, oh, you're Lisa Gardner, we'll answer all your questions. But you're polite, you say I'm a local author, I'm working on a novel, I have some questions for a fictional work where the hero or heroine will be such and such an agent. And generally they're like, okay.
Right.
And it's just, it's amazing. amazing the fun, interesting, real-world things that are going on out there in forensics and police procedure, and I just feel like the real world itself will never run out of ideas, and I can just keep just writing more and more books.
Well, you see, it's interesting because, I mean, a lot of people love Law & Order. I mean, Law & Order is universally loved. I would rather read your books than watch Law & Order, and I'm not afraid to say that. Because I find that on Law & Order, you don't know the characters really well. You may know the main characters, but you know, the guest star characters, do you ever really know what motivates them?
Well, I think for me, too, the way I'm coming at it, even though I do want to understand the procedure or the science or why you would do that, it's the psychology of it all that really fascinates me.
But that's what makes Touch & Go such a great book. It's the fact that we find out so much about this family. We feel like we know these people. By the end of the
Absolutely.
Book, you feel like you know the whole family.
Yes. And I mean, and one of the things I love about law enforcement is anytime I'm interviewing someone, it's not just what do you do, but who are you? Why did you choose this? How did this, what is the impact on your real life? I mean, I found it fascinating to talk to the 911 dispatch operators who, you know, are spending, you know, 12-hour shifts going from crisis to crisis and crisis, and then, you know, have to go home and turn it off and cook dinner for the family.
Wow. That's the hard work.
Yeah. How do you do that? And it's interesting to me. Like, I loved for Touch & Go talking to, you know, the county sheriff's department because the guys had a tendency to be so laid back and easygoing. And then you'd hear them talk about their patrol shifts, and they're all alone. They're patrolling huge amounts of land. I mean, when they do end up in a situation, it's going to be them against six probably drug addicts with no lights, no witnesses. I mean, they're all like, we draw weapons all the time up here. I mean, it's dangerous work.
Well, I have to ask this question because I'm dying to know, and if I don't ask, I'm just going to wonder the rest of the day. Is there more to the story of Tessa and Wyatt?
I think so. I think
there better be. You know how angry I'll be if there isn't?
I think their story's just getting started, frankly.
Exactly. We want to see. Well, I can't say any more. I'm going to give something away if I can say anything more. But I've got to see what's going to happen next with those two.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I mean, and I think that's also one of the fun things, and maybe why I'm a series writer who's a non-series writer, whatever, is at a certain point even I get tempted. We have to check back in with them. We have to see how they're doing.
Right.
One of the reasons I brought Tessa Leone back for Touch & Go is I've received so much mail since she was in Love You More. And the tone of genuine concern, like, is she really okay? How is her daughter? Did they get a puppy?
Right.
Do they have another
house?
Great.
It's great that people care so much.
I mean, it's like you could tell these people are just staying up late at night still worrying.
Right.
Is this former state trooper and her daughter really going to be all right? You're like, you know what? It's time for another book then.
So I can let them know what's going on.
Yes.
And that's got to feel good to know
it
that.
Does. It does.
And they know how well you're going to write it, too, so they know whatever's coming next is going to be interesting.
I mean, I think, you know, people aren't disappointed in Touch & Go, and I think it's really great to see Tessa again. And you're right, I think some of the scenes with her daughter are just really neat.
I don't know why I asked this question. I tend to ask this weird question once in a while, but I'm curious what you eat or drink while you're writing.
Oh, I'm a compulsive water drinker. You know, to the point that I probably need a 12-step program for water.
Well, that's not so bad.
Like, even, like, you know, there's some days I'm like, just have tea, branch out, for the love of God.
Right. But no, you stick with the water.
Yeah, I mean, I just like water. And I don't know, I snack a lot on nuts and yogurt. I don't know. Probably my biggest vice when I'm writing a novel is I chew a lot of gum.
Oh, interesting.
I think it has to do with, like, when you're in college and you did term papers, you used to snack on, like, M&Ms or, you know how you get, like, the munchies?
Right.
And, you know, at my age and sedentary stage of life, that doesn't work out so well.
Chewing, I've never heard of, no writer's ever told me they chew gum while they write.
Chew a ton of sugarless gum.
I know I read one time that Lee Child, and this figure just blew me away. And I think he said at one point, writing his books, he was drinking 30-some cups of coffee a day.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
So, I mean, there's a compulsivity to writers. The writers are compulsive, too.
I mean, I think anyone who's ever written term papers, there is some weird connection between writing and oral fixation or something. I don't know. It's like you're either popcorn when, or whatever, but, you know, chewing gum, or drinking coffee, I guess.
Right.
You know?
Well, I wonder what makes you such a great writer. I mean, to ask you that question would be kind of weird, because then what would you say?
Yeah. Thank you.
But I mean, but I'm thinking, what goes through my mind is that probably it's a combination of the fact you do a lot of research, the fact that you really work hard to make sure your books are authentic in every way, which is not easy.
I think the great writers whose careers stick with you, I mean, they never forget that it's a job, too. I mean, it's a job we're lucky to have and we're passionate about it. But,
right.
You know, it is work. I mean, I'm really, really pleased you love Touch and Go, and I'm not afraid to say this is the third draft of it, but the third draft got it right.
I'd love to see that first draft.
No.
I would love to see that. No, I'd love to see the difference. There's no doubt in my mind that what we have now, the finished book, is no, without a doubt the best. It's got to be. I can't imagine it being any better.
I think for me personally, looking at the industry, my focus is one great novel a year. And for me, that's going to take a year to do it. Because I could write in 6 months, but I don't want people to read the book I have at 6 months.
Interesting.
I want to go through the editing. I want to do the work that I feel brings it to that polished level where you're like, it's fast-paced, it's surprising.
Well, I was telling you, I told you last night that right at the beginning of the book I had a little trouble. I thought it was a little slow at the beginning. And that happens a lot to me. You shouldn't necessarily take that as gospel, but... Because I a lot of books I start and I have trouble getting into. I don't know how you feel about
that. I'll hold that against you then, because that's better than what I did against me.
But because right after that, it just, this book, there's a point in this book, and it's early in the book, it's not too far into the book, really, that it just takes off. The story just takes off, and you can't stop reading it.
It's funny, because chapter one's actually one of my favorite chapters. That whole line with pain has a flavor. The question is, what does it taste like to you? That really haunts me still, and that was Libby Denby talking to me one day when I was going for a walk.
Right.
And I like the abduction of the family, and I like learning about tasers. See, the sheriff's department let me play with tasers.
And interesting.
Tasers.
And the interesting part, I mean, this guy, Justin, owns this construction company. He makes millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He's got everything he could possibly want, anything anybody could ever want.
Yep.
And what, and that's another thing that runs through your mind. What in the world, how could he have any enemies?
Yeah.
If he's got everything he needs.
Yeah.
And
I love this concept of a family and that classic, I think you can relate to it. They're at that stage in the life where they know they should be happy, but they're not. And that's just so unsettling.
I think it's also somehow... It makes me feel better to know, you know, just because they have a lot of money doesn't mean they're going to be happy.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
but I think, you know, even as you start learning their flaws or their secrets or not, they're human about them. I mean, they're not trying to claim to be perfect, but they were still hoping to be happy. Isn't that what all of us want?
Who do you picture either Dee Dee Warren or Tessa look like? I mean, if you had to pick an actress for each, who would you pick?
Well, you know, I had one of the Dee Dee Warren novels, Hyde, turned into a movie on TNT like a year and a half ago, and Carla Gugino played Dee Dee Warren. And even though she technically was a brunette and not a blonde, I thought she nailed the character, the attitude, everything that was Dee Dee. And in the funny way of life, I guess, imitating art, when I write Dee Dee Warren now, all I can picture is Carla Gugino.
I think she was in Spin City, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's done a lot of... stuff.
She's short, though, too. Is Dee Dee Warren short? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think average height, but she's always in stilettos.
I remember Carla Gugino being short.
She's petite. In real life, she's petite. But
she
again,
is petite.
She
okay.
wears a lot of
heels.
Impressive
okay.
heels.
So that made her look...
stuff like us writers wouldn't be wearing.
It's amazing what they can do to actresses. Don't they? They make them look totally different.
But the attitude. I mean, just... She does not come across as small.
Well, let's analyze your work a little bit. The new book, the one you're working on now, when did you start it?
I start my books basically January.
All right, and so it'll take you the whole year to really form and get it perfect.
Well, I'll have it drafted by summer, but then I got to play with it a little.
Okay, you'll have a first draft by summer.
Yeah.
And then you play with it a little bit. And when do you have a final draft?
Well, my publisher and I try to be happy about everything by the fall, because then you have your publishing cycles to go through.
And the catalogs, and you have to do the
covers and all that. Yeah.
When do you pick the title?
Sometimes we have it in the very beginning. Touch and Go we had early on. The book I'm working on right now, we don't have Anything We Love yet. So we're calling it book 16, I believe, is it the official?
It's book 16. I think you're going to have to change the title or nobody will buy it.
Yes. So it's funny, sometimes with the idea of the book itself, something comes to you.
Right.
And the Catch Me we had probably halfway through. In fact, we were going to call it Save Me, but that turned out to be a Lisa Scottolini book.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then we came up with Catch Me. So that's the other thing, too. I mean, you can't just come up with a title. You have to come up with a title.
Lisa would be flattered that you're thinking of her titles while you're... I'll have to tell her that.
No. Yeah.
I mean, is there anything more flattering than to be thought of, you know?
Oh, I like her books a lot. In fact, Save Me, I thought was an excellent book.
Right. I'm wondering if we could steal into your house sometime, what would we would find you watching on TV?
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Nothing?
I mean, heaven forbid, I really am a reader. I mean, late in the game for suspense, you know, I've started watching more of in syndication, like The Criminal Minds or Bones.
Oh, Bones. I like Bones, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually think for both of those shows, I like the characters. Like some of the other police procedure shows are almost too procedure.
Right.
I mean, I like shows with characters. And my family, we like a lot of the, you know, we watch a lot like the History Channel, Discovery Channel, and a lot of the Cooking Channel, which is funny because I can't really cook. But maybe that's really what the Cooking Channel is about, aspiring
now,
to things you can't do.
I was just going to ask you how good of a cook you were. It's kind of funny you should bring that up.
Yeah, no, I'm really good at takeout.
Well, aren't we all good at takeout?
Yeah. No, but I have some friends who are really amazing cooks, and they always joke because if it's my turn, it will be catered or takeout.
Now, are there any books of yours that haven't been released yet? Are there any that you don't want to release?
You mean books that have never published?
Yes.
I have 3 books that have never published.
You do?
Yep.
And
in the middle of my career, just to make it more interesting, you know, because at the beginning it's hard and frustrating, but it's great in the middle when you can feel like you've just lost the magic once more.
Because I know Harlan Coben had 2 that were never released, and he ended up releasing both of them after swearing that he never would.
Yeah. Two of them aren't even, they were like projects I was experimenting around with. So, I mean, they're not suspense and... That's probably why they didn't work. I really am best with a dead body.
Yeah, just put a dead body and she's fine, you know? I mean, you do things with children, but I can't imagine you'd ever do, like, a child murder. Would you ever do a child murder in your books?
Say Goodbye is a tough book. Some of the victims are children, and so that's a harder book for some, and I think it was a little unsettling even for me. And The Neighbor, which is the book that won the International
Thriller, I like that one.
Best Thriller of the Year, was somewhat to provide closure to Say Goodbye.
Interesting.
The hero, Jason Jones, in that book is the kid that's in Say Goodbye.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I have to say, in the course of 15 novels, there's not too many lines I haven't crossed. But I think the older I get and the wiser I get, the more I want there to be a good reason to go there. And I do think one of the big goals of suspense is to make you feel powerful. I mean, that it is what readers really respond to is stories of characters growing up, solving problems, getting empowered.
Fighting with each other.
Yeah. To find the truth, to push at each other. Sometimes you have to almost get broken down to build up. It's kind of like the boot camp approach to characters, I joke. But, you know, we certainly see that with the Dembys. They almost have to bottom out before they can go forward. But the whole point is to go forward.
Yeah, and what's also good about Touch and Go, and I'm just thinking about this now, is the way we get to see Justin's whole company. We get to see all the people that work in his company, what they're thinking, what they're like, what they go through day to day. I think it was fascinating.
You know, that was one of the more interesting things in research I get to do. I mean, often my research is with law enforcement, but I was very lucky with Touch and Go, and my neighbor works for a mega construction firm that does kind of, you know, $250 million builds. And hearing his stories over the years kind of kept drawing me back to it because it's such a crazy industry. I mean, it really is
And I used to work for somebody who did installs too, like audio video install places, and they would do things that I thought, oh, or they'd sell somebody something and they'd think, oh, I don't know if they should have sold them that, you know. And there's all kinds of, you know, do they really need that, don't they need it, you know, all those little details you don't even think about.
Well, stuff like he would even talk about where God was in the details. I mean, if something's marked 5 cent wrong, that's okay if you're going to do 10 units. But right. If you're something like a major prison or a senior care facility or hospital where you may be ordering 1,000 units or 10,000 units, those little errors suddenly add up really quick.
Yeah, well, then you know why they charge so much to put somebody in a senior living facility.
Yeah, and just the time lapse. I mean, one of the things that takes place in Touch and Go is there's a lot of talk about this, you know, an abandoned prison, and that comes from my backyard.
Hmm.
You know, up here in New Hampshire, the federal government approved a $250 million 10-year project to build a brand new state-of-the-art maximum security facility. Gorgeous, gorgeous. I mean, just amazing. And at the end of the 10 years, the government was in fiscal crisis and there was no money to open it.
Wow.
And those kinds of things happen a lot more than you think. And we actually have scattered around the entire United States now, you know, abandoned military installations, brand new barracks that are not opening.
What a waste.
Well, yeah.
At first, I mean, unless they find
government funding, but an opportunity if you're a suspense novel.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm thinking of the money they spend it and then they don't use it. Like, they, you know, you would think they would use it.
Yeah, it's an industry that defies logic, but some of it, again, is the time span. If you have a construction project that's going to take 10 years from beginning to end, you know, at the end point, your budget situation might be different.
Would you ever write a screenplay?
No. I mean, I think it's its own art form, and I don't have any experience there.
Interesting.
And I also think, too, if you go into movies, it's the actor or actress's job to create the character. And
right.
I have to argue, as an author, that's my favorite thing.
So if the movie people came to you and say, look, we want to do one of your books as a film, but only if you write it, you would still say no?
It would be difficult for me to say yes to that. I mean, I'd take time away from writing the next novel, for one thing.
Right.
Do something that I don't think I would be the best at.
And then your fans would be screaming, where's the next book? I thought you were going to have a book this year.
Yeah, I'd rather them have some highly qualified person do it and me just approve it. Isn't that always the nicest choice?
I'm still upset with Tammy Ho for not having a book till July this year. She was supposed to have one in December, and I'm still upset about that. We readers get very upset about these things, you know?
But it'll be worth the wait. I mean, that's the nice thing. I mean, when you get the book, you'll have a really great July.
Right, but the problem lies in what do I read till then? That's the real problem, you know? But there's always something you can read to find to read. I mean, what do you find yourself reading, mostly?
I read all across the board in suspense. I mean, I enjoy Tammy's work, and Lisa Scottolini, and Lee Child, and Harlan Coben. I'm actually looking forward to 6 years. That sounds really fun to me.
Yeah, I have that. I haven't read it yet.
I read true crime for the novel I'm writing now. I've spent the last week reading a book on blood spatter. It's probably not for everyone, but I'm finding it fascinating.
That's what makes Dexter so good, his blood spatter. Have you ever watched Dexter?
No, but actually that's one of my new favorite authors is Barry Lyga. I don't know how to say it, Lyga, who's doing basically a Dexter series for 17-year-olds.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're excellent. The first one is I Hunt Killers, and the second one I just got to read the advanced reading copy of. It's called Game.
I've never heard of him.
Well, he's only on book two, but it's essentially a 17-year-old who is the child of the most notorious serial killer in the United States.
Wow.
And his father raised him to be a serial killer, but instead, much like Dexter, he's trying to use what he knows to hunt other serial killers.
That's interesting. But what I'm saying is with the blood spatter on Dexter, you'd probably find, and I assume they do a lot of research on that.
I would. Most of those shows, I do think they spend a lot.
Because he talks about blood spatter a lot on that show, yeah. And I thought maybe you might be interested in that.
But. It's a great way of interpreting the crime scene.
Right, exactly. Well, I can't. It's almost been 50 minutes we've talked. You're just a very enjoyable person.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I really look forward to, I wish I had the next book now. I'm in like withdrawal already. Do you realize what you're doing to people?
Well, now you can go back and read Love You More.
And the last one, I haven't read that one yet either.
Okay, so. Well, see, you've got nothing to complain of.
I've got
2 days worth of reading right there.
That's right. Sometimes you just can't catch up with all the authors, you know? It's impossible.
it's a good problem for all of us to have, that there's so many great books out there.
It really is. And the new book, again, is called Touch and Go. It's out from Dutton. It's in all your bookstores and e-books. And I'm assuming it's on audio, too?
Yes. And for any more information, people can go to lisagardner.com. And while they're there, they can nominate the person of their choice to die at the Kill a Friend of Mabel Bundy Sweepstakes.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Absolutely.
And who does the audio? I'm curious.
Brilliance.
I mean, what person...
Sorry, you know, and I should know this, and I'm blanking on it. I'm sorry, and I do know because I think it's a carrier, and I'm just totally blanking.
No, that's all right. I will go and look it up. That's no problem at all. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you so much, David.
This has been David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.